1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And we pray that this letter will help us to be people who live by faith and who hold firm to the truth of your word. Father, help me to speak clearly, and we ask that we will hear you teaching us and challenging us and correcting us by your word over these coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we're going to start with a little game. So, true or false. So I'm going to call out some statements, and then you can just call out true or false. So it's pretty simple. Today is Sunday. There are 48 days till the election. Yeah, I think that is true. Just trust me. Yeah. I'm a woman. The Parramatta Eels have been under the salary cap all year. Jesus is real. He lived on earth. All right, there are five statements, and I think we were pretty much all in agreement with all of those, except for one comment over here. Yeah. Right, that's objective truth. Things that are just true or are not true. Truth for everyone, period. And if you say that today is Wednesday, then sorry, but you are wrong. But we live in a different world, don't we? A world of relativism, where each person can decide for themselves what is true. And yeah, if I am feeling like a woman today, then in this world, then that is okay. Right, that's the world that we live in. Right, I saw a video clip, Lyndon put that up on Facebook during the week. That was a bit disturbing, but also quite fascinating. This man, he goes into a university campus. He's a white man, American. He is 5'9". He goes into this campus to interview students. And he asked them a number of questions and got their response. So I'll give you the responses to these questions of one woman. So he said, what would you say if I was a woman? And her response was, yeah, good for you. So similar to what we heard over here. If that's what you feel like, then yeah, good for you. He said, if I said I was Chinese, what would be your response? Remember, he is a white American man. Again, the response, good for you. Be who you are. If I said I was 7 years old, right? He wasn't seven. He was how old? It's about my age. He said, if you feel seven, then great. That's good for you. Go for it. And he asked, well, if I said I was 6'9", would you say I was wrong? And she said, no, I don't feel that's my place, if that's what you think. Right? This is more and more the world that we live in, that people can decide what is true, and if they say that is right, then that is true for them. Well, we come to this letter, 1 Timothy, and we've titled this series, Being True. Now, that's not being true to you and your feelings, but being true to the truth. Right? We believe in truth, that some things are true and other things are false. In this letter, straight up, what is it that Paul urges Timothy to do? Right? You see it there in verse 3. He says to him, he urges him to command certain men not to teach false doctrine. Right, Timothy is to go and tell some people that they are wrong. How's that going to go down today, if that was Paul's instruction to Timothy today? Going to be well received? People just love hearing that they are wrong? You love telling people that they are wrong? We're going to look at 1 Timothy 1 this morning. So I've got 3 points. And then some implications for us today. So first point, truth matters. Right? Truth matters for Paul big time. Now why? Well, some people, they've rejected the truth, or they've wandered away from the truth, and as a result, they've shipwrecked their faith. Some people are teaching false doctrine, and because of that, Paul, he's concerned. Right, teaching what is false can have disastrous consequences for those who come to believe. So, for example, if you were to teach parents around the world and in all countries and third world countries, every country, teaching our parents that it is good for kids to drink Coca-Cola in the morning with their breakfast. And as soon as they get home from school, that it's good. It will give them renewed energy. It will give them life. That wouldn't be good if that is the message going out, if that is what's being taught. What Paul is concerned about, though, is so much bigger and more important. He's talking about things that have to do with God, teaching about God and His Word, doctrine. And Paul, he's already warned the Ephesian elders about this. So you can see in Acts 20, he gave them this warning earlier. He said that savage wolves are going to come in from among your own number. and they're going to distort the truth, and they're going to draw away our people after them and after their teaching. And he called them to be on guard. Because truth matters, but it seems that the warning wasn't heeded, and exactly what he has said has now come to be. That there are false teachers, and that they may well have come out of the church itself. Right? Rather than teaching gospel truth, they're teaching false doctrine. And it says that they're devoted to myths and endless genealogies. Verse 4 says that these promote controversies rather than God's work. It goes on, verse 6 talks about meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're talking about. So very dangerous, isn't it? One, to teach what is false, and secondly, to teach what you don't really understand, what you don't know. And Paul says the law is good if it is used properly. But it seems that these people were teaching the law, but not properly. And he doesn't go into great detail here, does he, about just what is the false doctrine, what it is that they were teaching. He mentions that the myths, that the genealogies, the meaningless talk, the wrong use of the law, but he doesn't really go into detail. Over in 2 Timothy, he does give us a bit more of a clue there. In 2 Timothy, it speaks of how they've wandered from the truth, teaching that the resurrection has already taken place. Now, this is particularly with Hymenaeus, who comes right at the end of our chapter. So this is what Paul says to him in 2 Timothy. So it's saying that the resurrection has already taken place. Maybe they were saying that Christians won't receive a new body like Jesus. Maybe something has happened to the soul, but that is it. That is all. There's not something more to come with the resurrection of the body. See, Paul is concerned when things like this are being taught, which are not in accord with the scriptures, with God's word. Truth matters. He can't tolerate what is false. To him, it's dangerous. Now, he's not being arrogant or big-headed in getting Timothy to say to others that they are wrong, although maybe that is how he would be heard. But that's not his intent. Because see verse 5, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. All right, Paul urges Timothy to take action because there is right and wrong, because truth matters. So, secondly, let's look at gospel truth. He said what is false, so let's see what is true, what is the true gospel. And here he uses himself as an example, which is verses 12 through to 17. Because he is someone who had it wrong. He taught what was wrong, he did what was wrong, and then he was corrected. And this change that has taken place in Paul, he credits that 100% totally to God, to God's mercy and grace on his life. So from verse 13, he says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience and as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now elsewhere, he outlines his credentials. how he was circumcised on the eighth day, just as the law said, that he was of the people of Israel, of God's people, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's a good one. A Hebrew of Hebrews, right? He spoke Hebrew. He went to one of the best schools, the James Rus of Jerusalem for his day. He was there. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. He knew it. He was all over it. He was law-knowing, law-abiding to the ninth degree. Legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. But where did he have it wrong? He had it wrong when it came to Jesus. Who Jesus was, why he came, why he died on the cross. He didn't believe that he was the Messiah, the King, the Savior, until Jesus appeared to him. And then he saw that it was true that Jesus is alive, that he is the Lord. Right? God poured out his grace and his mercy on him. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Right? He was a hater of Christians. He had them persecuted. And he thought he was doing the right thing by God by getting them locked up and put in jail. But God had mercy on him. And grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. God's loving kindness. That's what God gave him in forgiving him and giving him life. Life with Jesus and in his kingdom. So that now he can say those words, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. For this very reason I was shown mercy. So there's this big turnaround in his life. But this is the truth of the gospel. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? He came into the world to save sinners, and he does so by grace and mercy. Right, it's not all about the law. Right, the law shows us that we sin and that we need to be saved, which is back in verses 9 to 11, the purpose of the law. But gospel truth, that is sound doctrine. That is what we need to hear. That is what we need to speak and teach, not the false doctrine that was going around then and still today. So point three, hold fast to the truth of the gospel. If this is what matters, then don't let go of it. Now, Paul's been entrusted with the gospel. Timothy has been entrusted with the gospel. It is precious. It's life-giving. It's life-changing. So don't mess with it. But hold fast to the truth of it. This is his message for Timothy and for us today. Paul wraps it up with this plea to Timothy. Verse 18 says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these, and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Like Timothy says, like my son, my true son in the faith, you got to command these men to stop. They're teaching false doctrine. You got to put a stop to that. He says to Timothy, you've got to keep going. You got to fight the good fight. Don't let go. Hold fast. Hold the line. Now hold on to faith and a good conscience. It's a passionate plea because this is important. It's a matter of life and death eternally. People's souls are at stake in what they believe. So let's think about for us and some implications. Now, I do wonder if Paul and Timothy were here today, what Paul would say to Timothy. What would be the false teaching that he would have Timothy speak against today? What do you think? We'll come to that in a moment. But first implication, truth matters. Now, this can be really hard in the world today because of the relative world that we live in. The relativism has been so widely embraced. And it teaches that you can believe whatever you like and that is true for you. And you can't say they're wrong. That's how it works, because it's true for them. And if they want to believe that, then they can. Right? Which is crazy if what they are believing is just so clearly not true. So for us to be able to speak of sin, to be able to speak of truth, to be able to speak of anything that is absolute, is hard. But just because it is hard doesn't mean that we compromise. All right, another little game of true and false. Three statements this time. First one, God created the world, he ordered the world, and watches over the world. People should be good and do good, just as the Bible teaches. God wants people to be happy, and he's there to help whenever we have a problem. All right, responses weren't as loud as before. So I don't know, maybe thinking a little bit more there. So maybe there was a little bit of hesitation there. Because maybe some of them are half true. There is truth in them, but maybe it's not the whole truth. And someone said to me, I heard this week, a half-truth is just a lie dressed up. Right? Half-truths can be dangerous. They look true, but they only give you half the picture. Right? So like Cope saying that it will give you energy and give you life. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that, but only a little bit. Right? If I said that those three statements summed up what Christianity is all about, then I hope you would respond false. But the thing is that a lot of people today believe that is what Christianity is. So those three statements, that is what a lot of people think, and that is what a lot of people are teaching today of what Christianity is. Basically, that God is there for us to make our life good. Right? That is not the gospel. That's a popular message and a message that a lot of people like to hear. And it is a message that you'll hear some big name pastors are preaching. It's appealing. There's a lot people like about it. But it's not the gospel, is it? Some have called it the moral therapeutic gospel. Right? It's all about us feeling good about ourselves and, yes, knowing God and worshipping God, but God being there for us rather than us being here for him. And it probably mentions nothing about sin and judgment and what Jesus has done. So that's a different gospel. So I want to say that is false. So you've got to be careful. Truth matters. So second implication, gospel truth. True Christianity is not about us. It's about God and his glory. It's about what God has done in his Son in dealing with sin to bring us back to God so that God can be worshipped. Right? It's about him and his glory. It's not about us and our well-being. Right? There are a lot of benefits, of course, of knowing God and being part of his people. But first and foremost, it is not about us. It is about him. So if you're teaching your kids, if you're teaching in kids' church or youth church, scripture during the week, we're not just to be teaching morals, because morals is not the gospel. Don't make it all about our behavior. Make it about Jesus. So yes, we'll talk about our life and good behavior, but those things must be in the context of the gospel, and it's our life in Jesus. It's not just teaching morals and being good. Our message is not that we need to do better, that we need to be good. It's all about our life in Jesus and our response to the gospel. Right? Gospel truth, it's about mercy and grace. God's mercy and grace are to us, and then how we respond to that, to him. So last implication, hold fast to the truth of the gospel. And maybe we need to do so even more so than Timothy in his day. Right? It was a big issue then, and it is just a big issue today, or more so. So if you have wandered from God's grace, then come back to him. Or if you've always thought that it's about you and having a good life or you being good, then turn to him today and see that that's not the case, but it's about him and it's about his glory. So take hold of Jesus and live each day knowing what Jesus has done for you, and then go and live in the freedom of knowing that. But let's not be people who compromise the truth of the gospel. Let's hold fast to it. As we keep looking at this letter, it's going to help us to do that as a church. And as individuals. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We thank you so much for him, for who he is, that he is the risen Lord, that he is the King. He is our Savior. Father, thank you that he has made us your people. He has dealt with sin. Father, help us to be a people who know the truth, who believe the truth, who live by that truth, and who speak it to other people. So, Father, as we keep looking at this letter ourselves and as a church in the coming weeks, months, really shape us and challenge us to be the people that you have called us to be. And help us to do this in a world that more and more has turned away from you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is with us and who enables us to hold fast to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.